You're listening to the free, ad-supported version of Truth News Radio Australia. If you're already a subscriber to Truth News Radio, you can access our ad-free content by logging into your member account at truthnews.com.au and going to the subscribers area, which you'll find under the member menu. If you're not a subscriber, you're most welcome to access our free content, but I encourage you to become a subscriber. We have several options available, including a concession option for those who can't afford the full year subscription price. For those who do subscribe for a full year, we offer the unique TNRA t-shirt and a resource DVD, which we'll send to you simply for the price of postage. Thanks for listening to Truth News, and we now return you to the show. Hi, you're tuned to Truth News Radio Australia on the 11th of April 2015. My name's Hereward Fenton. It's a great pleasure to be with you today, folks. Well, in today's show, I'm going to be talking about HIV/AIDS, and I'm going to be bringing you some perspectives on it, which for many are very shocking and very surprising and completely counterintuitive, because all you've ever heard about AIDS has come from sources which are directly plugged in to the agendas of large corporations and the power elite, the oligarchies of this planet. If you've been listening to the show for a few years, you probably will have picked up some of the work I've done on alternative perspectives of HIV and AIDS. And I have to say, I'm very confident in my own research. I'm very confident in knowing that HIV is not an existential threat. I'm also very confident in asserting that HIV testing is not something that I would ever do, and I wouldn't recommend it to anyone, no matter what your risk profile is, because I know the accuracy of those tests is so poor that the result you get, whether it's positive or negative, cannot really be trusted. But I don't want listeners to this show to take anything I'm saying on board without exposing it to their own analysis, without checking the evidence. I simply want to provide resources so that you can understand for yourself. And it is a deep subject, and there are many questions I know which crop up in people's minds because of the history of AIDS and because of all the different aspects to it, which are largely pushed through the media to more or less continually reinforce one view of a particular phenomenon. One might say that a phenomenon has been created by a narrative. And that's another way of looking at the AIDS phenomenon, is that it is actually an abstract concept which has been created by a narrative. Of course, I'm not saying people aren't getting sick and dying. Of course, people are getting sick and dying. But the core questions about what is AIDS, what is the definition of AIDS, how do we know that HIV caused AIDS, these are not proven. And when statistics are given for people who've died, well, they're simply facts that these people have died. What do these people actually die of? Well, AIDS is actually a syndrome. So when people die of AIDS, they don't just die of one particular illness. They die of one of a dozen illnesses, or actually several dozen over the period of time that AIDS has been around. And the specific illnesses which are attributed to AIDS have actually changed decade by decade, and they're also different depending on which part of the world you live in. So when someone raises the objection to a skeptic's position on AIDS and saying, well, look at all these people dying, you have to say, well, which people? Is it the people in America? Is it the people in Asia? Are you talking about the people in Africa? You know, and the people who are sick, you know, are we talking about people who are sick in the West, who are on retroviral medications. We're talking about people who are sick in Africa who maybe aren't on retroviral medications but are suffering and are actually suffering from very different symptoms. But of course, all that gets woven into one narrative by the mainstream media to tell you that there is this phenomenon called AIDS and something you should be very concerned about. And, of course, lots of money gets pumped into to solutions. A lot of money is made out of selling the medicines, which are very, very toxic and are actually making people sick. Now, in today's show, I want to cover some ground that that perhaps I haven't talked about so much in previous shows. And I want to start off with actually a new documentary which has just come out. And this was made just a couple of years ago, Positively False, The Birth of a Heresy. And this actually, I've got it on YouTube here, and it was actually released on YouTube in 2014. It may be actually quite recent indeed. And it is actually, I haven't had a chance to watch the whole thing, but it is a historical review of the whole AIDS skeptic movement. And this documentary will give you a general perspective and an overview of what we mean when we talk about AIDS skepticism, HIV equals AIDS skepticism. Secondly, I want to talk a little about the phenomenon of the way in which the industries behind AIDS medicine and treatments work to suppress dissent. And I will be playing to you a clip of an interview between Gary Null, alternative health broadcaster, and John Rappaport, a researcher who has actually been on this show, which documents some of the tactics and some of the extreme ways in which the powers that be are working to contain and derail alternative ways of looking at the phenomenon that is called HIV/AIDS. Thirdly, I'll be dealing today with a subject which is very little discussed, but extremely important, and extremely important not just for our understanding of health and illness, but it taps back into some of the central problems that we address on this show about tyranny and the evolving nanny state, which reaches its arm into every aspect of our lives and increasingly is criminalising forms of behaviour that that on the face of it have no demonstrable effect on anyone, to harm anyone. But because of this, the greater good argument, because of what they call risk factors, behaviours which lead to no harmful consequences to anybody are now criminalised, and can lead you to go to prison for quite a long period, I mean decades. And I'm talking here about the criminal laws against HIV exposure. And there have been numerous prosecutions in Australia and in the US and in Canada and other countries around the world of people who simply were in a sexual relationship with someone and didn't disclose their HIV status and then were subsequently accused. And because the laws are in place, some of these people have gone to prison for a very long time. And in the light of what I know about the untruths behind HIV and AIDS, of the deception behind the HIV equals AIDS paradigm, the fact that these people are being locked up for a very long time in prison is it just really, really hurts. It's really, really disturbing and very, very scary indication of how our society has degenerated and deteriorated in this way. And, you know, it's something that a lot of people aren't aware of. I mean, it is in the news every now and then. You will get the tabloid news focusing in on some big case of some guy who, you know, was just in a relationship and didn't tell his partner, and it's all drummed up as some terrible thing, you know, some terrible crime that this person has committed. And in many cases, the victim doesn't get sick, the victim doesn't even become HIV positive, but it is treated as grievous bodily harm. It is treated as or as intent, intent to cause grievous bodily harm, which, of course, in the criminal statutes is a very serious crime in itself. So I'll be covering that in the later half of the show, and I'll be playing to you an interview from Canada that talks about some of these legal questions around this issue. But let's begin now with some excerpts from this recent film, Positively False, Birth of a Heresy. And that'll take us through to the break, and then we'll continue, and we'll be I'll be giving you a few comments on it as they occur to me, and then we'll be playing some of the other material for you today. So here we go. Clips here from Birth of a Heresy, Positively False HIV/AIDS documentary.
I had a psychoanalysis. I've been psychoanalyzed for my decision not to take antiretrovirals. I don't know what they call it, but I went to see a lady to determine if I was sane.
The consequences of an HIV-positive diagnosis, the stigma combined with the powerful drug regimes, reverberate into a person's future. This was the case with Lindsay Nagel.
I was adopted from Romania in 1990, and my mom and my grandma went to Romania to come and get me. So they had spent 2 months over there to deal with all the adoption and everything. And then I had, in order to come into the United States, I had to get tested for HIV. In Romania, I tested negative, so then everything was fine. We went to the United States, and then in 3 months of being in the United States, I had to get tested again, and I was tested positive.
Lindsay was given the AIDS drug AZT at 9 months. She suffered serious side effects.
It was unbearable to the point where we wrote to Peter Duisberg after 40 days and nights of this horrible pain. And he wrote back immediately and said, you must take your daughter off the AZT. That is why she's having the pain and all the problems.
The mechanism of action of AZT is embarrassingly clear and simple. It is a terminator of DNA synthesis. DNA is the basis for all life on this planet. It's the central molecule in every living cell.
The belief is that AIDS is infectious, that it's caused by HIV, and that you can catch HIV from somebody else. But many scientists and researchers disagree. These views have been skillfully suppressed for decades by the prevailing scientific orthodoxy and the mainstream media. We've kept an extensive archive over a period of 28 years, which will demonstrate how dangerously wrong science can be.
HIV cannot be the cause of AIDS because it doesn't infect enough cells and isn't active enough. It's only found in 1 out of 8,000 T cells, which are often not always lost in AIDS, and they can't be, that loss can't be due to HIV if only 1 in 8,000 cells are infected.
HIV has never been isolated. Its assumption has been postulated only by indirect means.
Every single prediction of the HIV theory has failed, most notably that HIV/AIDS has remained confined to the risk groups and has not spread to produce a heterosexual epidemic.
The test claims to be specific for the presence of a new virus, something that infects people through sex, something that once you're infected, there's no cure, you're never going to get rid of it. So it's, if you're told that you're HIV positive, it's a most terrible witch doctor's bone being pointed at you. And often the curse of being told you're HIV positive has killed in itself because people give up and die.
We have been told for the last 30 years that an HIV infection is the equivalent to a death sentence. So even if now we know that most people who have tested HIV positive will continue to survive, and most of them in good health for decades, still the perception is it is a death sentence.
We're just going to break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Do stay with us.
Through advanced advances in technology, our lives have greatly improved, except in the area of nutrition. People feed their pets better than they feed themselves, and it's time we changed all that. Our primary defense against aging and disease in this toxic environment is good nutrition. In a world where natural foods have been irradiated, adulterated, and mutilated, Youngevity can provide the nutrients you need. Logos Radio Network gets many requests to endorse all sorts of products, most of which we reject. We have come to trust Youngevity so much, we became a marketing distributor along with Alex Jones, Ben Fuchs, and many others. When you order from LogosRadioNetwork.com, your health will improve as you help support quality radio. As you realize the benefits of Youngevity, you may want to join us. As a distributor, you can experience improved health, help your friends and family, and increase your income. Order now.
Are you being harassed by debt collectors with phone calls, letters, or even lawsuits? Stop debt collectors now with the Michael Maris Proven Method. Michael Maris has won 6 cases in federal court against debt collectors, and now you can win too. You'll get step-by-step instructions in plain English on how to win in court using federal civil rights statutes, what to do when contacted by phone, mail, or court summons, how to answer letters and phone calls, how to get debt collectors out of your credit report, how to turn the financial tables on them and make them pay you to go away. The Michael Maris Proven Method is the solution for how to stop debt collectors. Personal consultation is available as well. For more information, please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the blue Michael Maris banner or email Michael Maris at yahoo.com. That's ruleoflawradio.com or email MICHAELMIRRAS at yahoo.com to learn how to stop debt collectors now.
Men and women of Earth, may I have your attention? This is Herewood Fenton, host of Truth News Radio Australia. You're invited to join the info war as we work to restore truth in media and challenge the dark forces which now dominate mainstream news. I'm calling on you, valued listener, to use your hard-earned dollars to help us smash the globalist empire. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe today. Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio, and I'm playing you today some clips from a new documentary, Positively False, Birth of a Heresy, a documentary on the HIV equals AIDS controversy. And there have been a number of good documentaries on this over the years, one of which I covered on this show, and I had the filmmaker Brent Leung on my show about 3 years ago. He made a great little documentary which won some awards called House of Numbers, and he interviewed some of the top researchers in HIV for that film. And one of the most startling revelations in that film was Luc Montagnier, the original discoverer of the HIV virus, admitted quite candidly that that AIDS can be cured by taking care of your immune system with diet. Just eating the right foods and getting the right amount of exercise and things like that can actually work just as well as taking all the toxic medications. Extraordinary statement from one of the world's leading scientists. And again, you know, it's only because of individual efforts, of grassroots documentaries, that where people go forward and try to speak to people directly, that we're ever able to find out this information, because it will be continually hidden from you by the powers that be through their spokespeople, the mainstream media. Now, a lot of the focus in the previous section there we were playing from the intro to the documentary is the unreliability of the HIV AIDS test, the HIV antibody test. And this is a huge topic in itself, because the HIV antibody test is not as simple and straightforward as most people think. And, you know, it actually has different interpretations in different countries, and there are different forms of the test that are done in different countries. And there was that case there that that you heard in the last segment of someone who came from Romania, was tested negative, came to the US, tested positive. This sort of thing happens all the time. Anyway, I'm going to continue, play a little more from the documentary, and then we'll be playing you some other clips related to some of the propaganda and suppression of dissent that we also see in this whole controversy. So just continuing here from the documentary.
Is it really possible that the world could have been so misled? There's plenty of evidence historically to demonstrate how science can get things terribly wrong. It took 350 years for Galileo's heresy to be pardoned by the Catholic Church for saying the Earth went round the sun. For centuries, those viewing the heavens thought we were part of the only existing galaxy, the Milky Way. But in 1924, when Edwin Hubble's powerful telescope came into use, it only took a year for 200 billion galaxies to be identified. In Japan, it took 30 years and teams of lawyers to dismiss in court the idea that a virus was the cause of SMON, a blindness and paralysis that by 1971 had affected 11,000 people and caused thousands of deaths. It was more convenient to call it infectious rather than toxic. Then no one could be blamed. It was only when Professor Tadao Tsubaki, in true detective style, tracked the symptoms down and found that this disastrous nerve damage was a toxic reaction caused by a common antidiarrheal drug, that the infectious theory was dropped and the toxic reaction accepted. In the early 1900s, in the southern states of America, and in some areas of Europe, where poor families shared a survival diet of maize or polenta, hundreds of thousands of people developed severe skin rashes and dementia. They were imprisoned, thrown off ships, or locked in mental asylums for fear that their symptoms were catching. Many died. The condition was called pellagra, and once again, it was not infectious. But poor Dr. Joseph Goldberger, who'd noticed that nobody treating these unfortunate pellagrins had become ill, and suggested it was not an infectious condition, but caused by malnutrition, was ridiculed for his views and died before he was vindicated. 5 years after his death, it was accepted that pellagra was not infectious, but caused by a vitamin B or niacin deficiency. Plague terror is very attractive. In the battle between what's infectious and what's toxic, the infectious hypothesis usually wins. Plague terror keeps people in order and raises enormous amounts of money.
It is a deadly disease and there is no known cure. The virus can be passed during sexual intercourse with an infected person. Anyone can get it, man or woman.
From the beginning, there were dissenting voices among top scientists, but they were silenced. The most famous and most vilified heretic is Peter Duisberg. For saying HIV is not the cause of AIDS, he was defrocked and defunded. This leading molecular biologist from Berkeley, University of California, elected to the U.S. National Academy of Sciences, having lost his grants for postgraduate students, was relegated to teaching undergraduate lab courses. Among those who challenge the virus AIDS hypothesis, there are differing views. Peter Duisberg's position is that HIV is a dormant passenger retrovirus with neither the capacity nor the mechanism with which to cause AIDS.
It is dormant all the time. It never becomes active. It is dormant to begin with. It's dormant when you die from it. It's dormant when you suffer from it. There's no report in the literature describing the virus ever to be active in a patient, in a human being, only in cell culture. So it's always dormant. That is, in fact, one of the paradoxes of the viral hypothesis. There is no parasite that I know of among viruses and bacteria and fungus and anything that is dormant while it's pathogenic. This one is. That's one of the major reasons why I don't believe that this virus is the cause of AIDS.
Another leading heresy is from a group of scientists in Perth, Western Australia. Their position is that HIV has never been proven to exist because it's neither been purified nor isolated. Orthodoxy has given the name HIV to certain stretches of genetic material, but the so-called retrovirus HIV has never been obtained directly from a person's blood. The only way that it's detected at present is through indirect markers, principally through antibodies to a set of proteins said to be specific to HIV, but which are in all of us anyway, or endogenous.
There is no way to test for HIV. This is because all the tests are based on indirect markers, none of which has been validated by proving that the markers are positive only when the virus is present.
Okay, I'm going to leave it there. I'll put a link to the documentary on the website for this week's show. It's a very well put together documentary. It's got an excellent narrator who really threads it all together. But I think what we've played to you there has given you a taste and an idea of the scope of the controversy and the degree to which there are so many aspects of this that are not are not clear and are not proven. And of course, with all that, there is this huge industry. There is this huge money-making industry, this huge pharmaceutical bandwagon, which has made trillions of dollars out of the development, the marketing, the government investment. I mean, it is just staggering because HIV has been perceived as being the greatest disease of the age, and of course was marketed as such. And what the lady there in the documentary was saying is the plague concept as a motivator, as a societal control tool, is extremely powerful and extremely effective, and you know, much more attractive from the point of view of the governments and those who wield power than a more straightforward kind of understanding of illness to do with dietary or toxicity matters. Because the plague pandemic issue gives you a mechanism for clamping down on society, and that, of course, is what we're seeing across the board in the Western world. We're going to break. We'll be right back with more analysis. Stay with us.
The notorious serial killer Arsenic Annie used rat poison to do in her family. You're no Arsenic Annie, but you may be serving your own family a deadly poison every day. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. Details in a moment.
Google is watching you, recording everything you've ever searched for and creating a massive database of your personal information. That's creepy, but it doesn't have to be that way. Startpage.com is the world's most private search engine. Startpage.com doesn't store your IP address, make a record of your searches, or use tracking cookies, and they're third-party certified. If you don't like Big Brother spying on you, start over with Startpage. Great search results and total privacy. Startpage.com, the world's most private search engine.
It's hydrogenated oil, and it kills 50,000 people a year. It's made by attaching hydrogen atoms to liquid oils to make them creamy and solid at room temperature. But that process creates a toxic substance that damages brain and nerve cells. It's so poisonous, the National Academy of Sciences says no one should eat it. These so-called trans fats double your risk of heart attack, disrupt liver function, and increase your risk of diabetes, prostate, and breast cancer. Today, Arsenic Annie could kill her family slowly with margarine, coffee creamer, cookies, and pie crusts. So be sure to read the label and eliminate everything that says hydrogenated from your diet. This is Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Rule of Law Radio is proud to offer the Rule of Law Traffic Seminar. In today's America, we live in an us-against-them society, and if we, the people, are ever going to have a free society, then we're going to have to stand and defend our own rights. Among those rights are the right to travel freely from place to place, the right to act in our own private capacity, and most importantly, the right to due process of law. Traffic courts afford us the least expensive opportunity to learn how to enforce and preserve our rights through due process. Former Sheriff's Deputy Eddie Craig, in conjunction with Rule of Law Radio, has put together the most comprehensive teaching tool available that will help you understand what due process is and how to hold the courts to the rule of law. You can get your own copy of this invaluable material by going to ruleoflawradio.com and ordering your copy today. By ordering now, you'll receive a copy of Eddie's book, The Texas Transportation Code, The Law Versus the Lie, video and audio of the original 2009 seminar, hundreds of research documents, and other useful resource material. Learn how to fight for your rights with the help of this material from ruleoflawradio.com. Order your copy today, and together we can have the free society we all want and deserve.
Welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio, and my topic today is HIV and AIDS and the Grand Deception. And I was playing to you there some clips from a new documentary that's come out, which catalogues the whole movement of alternative thinking on HIV, and I've got some interesting material to share with you that's actually very recent, which I will do shortly. But first, I want to play to you a clip from a radio show hosted by Gary Null, very well-known US alternative health broadcaster. And Gary Null made a documentary in 2007 called AIDS, Inc., in which he puts forward his perspective on AIDS and very much falls along the line of it being completely misrepresented and not indeed an infectious illness, as most of us believe. And in this radio interview, he's talking to John Rappaport, who has also been on this show, who's written some books on the topic. Now, in the interview, Gary Null is actually documenting some facts that happened to him that demonstrate the degree to which the medical cartels go to try and suppress dissent. So let's just play a little of that for you right now. Here we go.
I was approached one day after leaving WBAI by a very large man. It was the middle of August, and he came over to me. He was bald-headed. He had a convertible car there, and he said, "Are you Gary Null?" I said, "Yes." He said, I have something I want to share with you." And I said, "Okay." He said, can you come to the car?" And I said, "No, I'm not going to your car." And so I said, "Pull around the corner." Well, there was a police station around the corner, so we literally pulled right in front of the police station. Then I felt comfortable getting in his car because he couldn't do anything. And so I sat there, and he told me a story, and he told me a story that was so incredulous that immediately I would have dismissed him as a nut, except he told me things that no one, and I mean no one, knew. He started off by saying, "You don't know who I am, and you'll never see me again. This will be the one and only time we have a conversation." And I interrupted and said, "Why? Why do you want to speak with me?" And he said, "Because I feel guilty. I've been following you for over a year and a half. I'm a part of the Null team." And I said, "What's the Null team?" a group of individuals who have looked for weaknesses, anything that we can use to scandalize you, to blackmail you. But these guys are serious. And each one of your books and each one of your national appearances is hurting them. And you're the number one person out there. You're as bad to them as Ralph Nader was to other industries. And they're not going to take it. So I just want to let you know that they're going to ratchet it up and it's going to get serious. And they may whack you. They may kill you. I said, yeah. So tell me the story. But he told me of situations where I'd met people, contracts I had signed but were canceled last moment, a network television series that was canceled after four shows that never went on the air, and all these things that no one knew about because I'd never spoken about any of this to the public. And so then I realized he was telling me the truth. He even mentioned, he said, do you remember Jerry Rubin's 50th birthday party? I said, yeah, I wasn't there. He said, do you remember there was a woman out on the balcony who just casually said, hi, what's your name, what you here for? And do you remember her name? I said, yes. He said, was it this? And he told me the name. I said, yes. She was one of the plants. And then he went into detail about what she intended to do. Now, fortunately, I had only had dinner with this woman, nothing more. And he said, did a guy come to you saying that he worked for the Village Voice and wanted to help the cause and was going to volunteer some time? I said, yes. Did you ever check the Village Voice or check his address? I said, no. Why don't you do that? He was also a plant. All around you, they put plants. And then he told me something that had happened that no one knew, that someone had tampered with one of my manuscripts at the printer and substituted milligrams for micrograms. And only at the last moment did I catch it, and we stamped all the copies to correct it. But that was so frightening, because how does someone get into a printing plant and go over the blues, and that's the last copy before it's printed? So then he had my full and undivided attention. He went on to tell me about how they operated and why me, because I was the only one who had crossover bestsellers, and I had like 11 straight bestsellers in a row. I was on national television every week, and he said, and they're not going to allow it to continue. So look for ways of destroying your reputation. And he also said, do you think WPAI doesn't have provocateurs and infiltrators? I said, don't know. He said, well, and he went on. I won't say what he said. That remains confidential, because I won't give anyone any ideas. But after that, I went back, and sure enough, the guy who was working with us, when we looked, he didn't ever work at the Village Voice, and his home address was non-existent. We had to shred over 1 million documents because we didn't know what misinformation he had planted. But I was told he planted misinformation, so when we wrote an article or a book, my brother, Stephen Howard, there'd be misinformation that we could then be criticized for. That's enough about me.
Well,
now you. You were approached by a man who came from inside the AIDS pharmaceutical, I'm assuming pharmaceutical establishment, because there's no other establishment would have the interest to do something similar. Someone who is going to tell you the truth. And when I asked this man, why are you telling me this? He said, because after a year and a half of following you and looking into every aspect of your life, going to your hometown and asking friends, Gary, ever do drugs? You ever did blah, blah? Nothing. You know, you were a Boy Scout. You have nothing we can nail you on, because we've tried. Now, tell us the story that no one's heard. You're going to let our audience know, because I want this audience to know how down and dirty the people who are pro the HIV equals AIDS hypothesis get, and how they go about discrediting some of the greatest minds in the world, like Peter Duisberg, or the Nobel Prize winner Carrie Mullis, or Dr. David Rasnick, and others who had the courage to look for the truth and found it. I'm really concerned that the audience knows the truth. The form is yours. Take your time.
Okay, Gary, thank you. That's quite a story. Back in 1987, I was writing my first book called AIDS, Inc., and about 4 or 5 months into the research, I had really no idea where I was going with it. I just knew had an instinct that there was something there. I came across Peter Duisberg's journal article, March 1, 1987, in Cancer Research, that indicated there was no reason to believe that HIV was the cause of AIDS. Somewhere in the writing of the book, through a friend, I met a man who started to tell me that he had experience with, how can I put this, making certain medical lies into medical truth, that he was a propaganda operative. And he told me a few little stories and so on. And I was very interested, but still didn't quite see the connection. We lost touch. But a few years later, he came back into the picture, and he said, okay, you've written the book now. You understand a lot more. He said, I'm retired. I'm not in the game anymore, because it occurred to me at some point that it was just too debilitating to myself, meaning himself, to be in that game of lying, lying, lying. And he wanted to talk to somebody, and he thought I might be the right person if I was willing to be completely off the record. I said, sure, why not? Let's see what happens. He used the pseudonym of Ellis Medavoy. And I said, well, I'm going to have to do everything I can to check you out to see if you are who you say you are. And he said, I understand that. And I spent a lot of time. It was very difficult. But I satisfied myself in the end that this guy was real and that what he was saying was very real. He never did tell me exactly who he was working for, and he refused to do that. But it was...
We're just going to break. This is actually a very interesting discussion, and I don't have time to play the whole thing for you, but I will be putting a link to that as well on the show. I've actually got more important material to bring with you in the fourth segment of today's show. So we're just going to break. I'll be right back with some more very important material. Don't go away.
My name is Stuart Smith from naturespureorganics.com, and I would like to invite you to come by our store at 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite D, here in Austin, Texas, behind Brave New Books and Chase Bank, to see all our fantastic health and wellness products with your very own eyes. Have a look at our miracle healing clay that started our adventure in alternative medicine. Take a peek at some of our other wonderful products, including our Australian emu oil, lotion candles, olive oil soaps, and colloidal silver and gold. Call 512-264-4043 or find us online at naturespureorganics.com. That's 512-264-4043, naturespureorganics.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook for information on events and our products. naturespureorganics.com.
Plaintiff or defendant in a lawsuit? Win your case without an attorney with Jurisdictionary, the affordable, easy-to-understand 4-CD course that will show you how in 24 hours, step-by-step. If you have a lawyer, know what your lawyer should be doing. If you don't have a lawyer, know what you should do for yourself. Thousands have won with our step-by-step course, and now you can too. Jurisdictionary was created by a licensed attorney with 22 years of case-winning experience. Even if you're not in a lawsuit, you can learn what everyone should understand about the principles and practices that control our American courts. You'll receive our audio classroom, video seminar, tutorials, forms for civil cases, pro se tactics, and much more. Please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the banner, or call toll-free 866-LAW-EASY.
What happens in terms of creating wars is a mind manipulation technique called problem-reaction-solution. And it works like this. And it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported. You get the public to react to your problem by saying something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it?
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. And I'm talking about HIV/AIDS today and some aspects of the controversy over the cause of AIDS. And I want to touch on another very important subject, which is the criminalisation of people who have sex while HIV positive. And a lot of people have gone to prison over this, and they've gone to prison for decades, in some cases 20 years, simply for having sex while HIV positive. And honestly, this is a huge assault on our basic freedoms. It is a huge problem that this has now been instituted in laws around the world and is very rarely even discussed. But there is actually a landmark ruling, which has just come out of the US. It's actually come out of military court in the US. And I've got an article here from hivskeptic.wordpress.com titled, Highest Military Court Rules HIV Not Likely to Be Spread Through Unprotected Sex. In a landmark legal case that has received little attention outside the United States, the highest military court in the US recently overturned decades of judgments regarding the likelihood of spreading HIV through unprotected sex. In late February, the US Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces unanimously threw out a 2011 conviction against a US airman, Sergeant David Gutierrez of Kansas, for committing aggravated assault when exposing multiple sex partners to HIV at swinger parties in Wichita. According to defense attorney Kevin McDermott, the decision reversed a 25-year precedent that had allowed military personnel to be convicted of aggravated assault solely on the basis of a positive HIV test. The key to the decision was that the convicted airman was not accused of actually infecting anyone with HIV, only of having had sex with them after a positive HIV test, and his conviction was overturned because the US government could not prove that any of his acts were likely to transmit HIV to his partners. The second highest court in America has unanimously rubbished the myth that being found HIV positive makes someone an automatic risk to others. So said Joan Shenton, London-based author of the recently republished anniversary edition of the book Positively False, and that's actually the documentary I was just playing to you, and she indeed is the narrator of that documentary. Shenton continued, "The US government was unable to prove a likelihood that an HIV person is a risk, even during unprotected sex, because there is no proof. And if the transmission of HIV is now in such doubt, the entire edifice of the infectious hypothesis for AIDS will surely come tumbling down." Now, the legal arguments in this case centred around the defence claiming that the chance, based on statistics, of someone actually in getting AIDS from an act of unprotected sex was somewhere between 1 in 10,000 and 1 in 100,000. The prosecution actually argued that it was 1 in 500, but in the end, the court determined that even if the risk were 1 in 500, transmission of the disease was not likely to occur. Now, this is a very important legal precedent, folks, and regardless of your position on the science, the fact that a court has ruled, based on evidence and expert evidence brought forward, that you are not likely to get AIDS from unprotected sex is an incredibly earth-shaking revelation, which should be on the headlines of all major newspapers around the world, because it runs completely counter to the prevailing belief. But it's long been known that just based on the statistics alone, that that it's damn near impossible to catch HIV from one or two acts of unprotected sex. And from heterosexual sex, it is even more difficult and virtually non-existent. Of course, there are those celebrated cases, but they are the needle in the haystack. They are statistically insignificant. So the although because you absorb the media's hyped up stories of one particular case, most people will think, oh no, it's very easy to get AIDS. You just have sex one time and you're going to get HIV positive. Even heterosexual sex, just normal heterosexual sex, a man who's HIV positive has sex with a girlfriend and then bang, you know, she's going to get it. Well, you know, that I want to say never happens, because it has been documented as occurring once or twice. But when you review all the evidence and you look at the alternative theories of HIV and AIDS, especially Peter Duesberg's analysis, which is that there is a proportion of people in our society who were born HIV positive, who will always be HIV positive, and who will never get sick from having HIV, because HIV is a harmless passenger virus. Now, when you look at this, at these facts from that perspective, the fact that someone became or discovered that they were HIV positive after having had sex with someone who was also labelled as HIV positive does not even prove transmission. They could have been that way their whole lives and not known it. Now, I want to play to you a clip from a legal group that is actually working to help people who are criminalised for their sexual behaviour. And just a few short sound grabs here from someone talking about the truly totalitarian nature of the criminalisation of HIV, HIV people who are sexually active. Here we go.
What we're asking for is for a re-examination of HIV criminalization laws, and for these laws to be reformed in light of what we currently know about HIV. One of the things that motivates me and makes me feel so passionately about the work that I do is that I know people living with HIV, people just like me, are at times facing years in prison simply because they are trying to have an active, normal sex life, and the laws are set up against them doing that. I think it's important that people recognize we're not saying that disclosing your status is not a good thing. It is a good thing. And it's you know, perhaps a best practice in those situations. When it's feasible, when it's safe to do so, when you know that that information isn't going to be used against you in some way. So that's a different question, whether or not disclosure is a good idea. What we're talking about is whether or not we should have a criminal law that comes in and forces you to disclose. The fact is that even if you disclose your status, there's no guarantee that you are not going to be targeted, that you are not going to be prosecuted, and you may have to go in and try and prove in a court of law something that happened between you and another person. What we should have are laws that require an intent to harm. There should have to be some kind of ill motive and actual harm. Right now, the laws don't require either of those things. All you have to do is be HIV positive and not disclose your status. And you can go to jail for decades.
Okay, that is the current legal status in Canada. It's also the current legal status in some states of Australia. I believe Victoria and the Northern Territory. You can go to jail for decades simply for an act of unprotected sex that didn't lead to any harmful consequences, and certainly wasn't intentional on your part. It's a very serious crime. And now it makes a mockery of our legal system that such laws are in place. It makes a complete joke of it. Our legal system is just set up for... I mean, there are some things that go on in our legal system that are meaningful and true, and there's a lot of crime that's real. But with all this fake crime, all this prosecution of things that aren't really crimes, we are undermining the very basis of law, of the rule of law and civilization. Now, folks, I would recommend to anyone, you know, just don't get HIV tested. It's not worth it. See, because if you don't know that you're HIV positive, you could never be prosecuted under these laws. They might try. It wouldn't surprise me if there were even cases where they did try to come after people, even who were completely ignorant of their HIV status. Perhaps those who had vocally supported skeptical positions as well. But it'd be much harder. Once you've been given an HIV status, if you've had an HIV test and you know you're HIV positive, that's something that could be used against you. And, you know, these things can be used against you in a purely malicious, vicious way that is really nothing to do with truth and justice. A vindictive former partner might come after you for that reason. So I feel very comfortable in not ever having an HIV test. And, of course, I'm not in any of the risk groups, so it's highly unlikely that I would test positive. But I'm just saying I wouldn't have the test, and I wouldn't recommend to anyone to have the test. Now, there was some other material I wanted to play to you today, but we have run out of time. And today's show will only be 1 hour live show. We will be playing a replay of one of our recent interviews for our radio listeners in Austin, Texas. But let's just ponder on this. Let's think about the dual aspects of this, as we do with so many issues that come up on this show, about how matters of truth kind of blend into and interlock with matters of liberty and justice. And I just find that fascinating, how so many times when you look into topics, you find that this question of truth and justice and freedom come together. And it always lets me know I'm on the right track when I see those interlocking issues at play. So I'll leave that with you to ponder, and do take a look at the notes, and please get back to me if you have any thoughts. I plan to do some more interviews on this very important subject this year. So that's our show for this week for our live listeners. You'll be getting a radio replay. See you next week.
Would you like to make more definite progress in your walk with God? Bibles for America is offering a free study Bible and a set of free Christian books that can really help. The New Testament Recovery Version is one of the most comprehensive study Bibles available today. It's an accurate translation, and it contains thousands of footnotes that will help you to know God and to know the meaning of life. The free books are a three-volume set called Basic Elements of the Christian Life. Chapter by chapter, Basic Elements of the Christian Life clearly presents God's plan of salvation, growing in Christ, and how to build up the church. To order your free New Testament Recovery Version and Basic Elements of the Christian Life, call Bibles for America toll-free at 888-551-0102. That's 888-551-0102. Or visit us online at bfa.org.
Looking for some truth? You found it. LogosRadioNetwork.com.